Good morning, everybody. Here from Finland, early in the morning, and we are beginning our 65th meeting, actually. And we're undertaking this time the study of symbols. It will be a fairly lengthy section. We're reading through the book Glamour, A World Problem, extremely important at this time when the value of the truth seems to be neglected. I've sent you some thoughts. I'll read them aloud. Olivia sent them to us, and we're sharing them with you about, you know, fake this and fake that. There's so much fakery. As a matter of fact, we'll have a chance to discuss that in a little while. I'm going to change our approach to the glamour we're going to undertake, and it will be, I'll call it the glamour of falsification, or basically, you know, simply lying. And, you know, when we have that sort of old church adage that the devil is the father of lies, we kind of understand where we're at in today's world, and especially in the political scene where partisanship seems to justify any kind of approach that deviates from the truth. Truth is not considered, so we'll deal with that as we go along. So right now, let's simply have a coming together. I just, you know, want to welcome you all. Yeah, there's quite a few of us here, and Anne, Annette, Barbara, Bianca, Carl, Catherine, Clesia, Gregory, Helen, Joe, Joanne, Yopi, and Marianne, Mariut, Martha, Natnia, Olivia, Rebecca, Rusto, Roswitha, Suzanne, Tuya, Vera, and others will be joining us as we go along. I may have even missed somebody who just joined right in there while I was going down the list, but welcome to you all. And the three of us, BL and Joe and myself, are on the staff trying to make sure that nothing untoward happens. Okay, so wherever we may be, let us come together and imagine that we are in one field of consciousness, and the apparent divisions of time and space are not affecting us. And if we can manage it, we think of the beingness of our little group. It's one being. With one stage of gradually unifying consciousness, offering itself as an instrument to the hierarchy to help clarify this, at this time, greatest of all planes of illusion. That word is used in a generic sense, and that is the astral plane. Which still controls the lives of so many people, because the true mental focus is not yet the property of the majority of human beings. But we'll try to contribute our understanding . You know, the factors of intuition, illumination, understanding, and love, which are to emerge and which will emerge with greater power in our own lives. So with that little alignment, we'll just seal it with the Om. Okay, we're increasing in our numbers here, and if I didn't say hi, I mean it, Carl and probably some others here. Anyway, welcome. Now, our purpose has been to really do a thorough study of this book, as if we were members of the group for whom the Tibetan was writing, the Second Sea Group, the Observers of Reality. He seems to have dealt with a number of subjects in a treatise on cosmic fire, and then gone into these subjects in a more specialized and extended manner. And the Sea Group project is certainly still continuing and will for 275 years approximately, and I suppose that takes us to the year 2200. Is that it? Yeah, from 1925, basically, to the year 2000, and then 2100, and then 2200. So we can expect him to be among the externalizing masters and a great healer. He said that the people in the healing group always have something quite physical about their approach, and naturally that would incline one to externalize. So a number of them will be among the externalizing masters, and we'll learn more as we go along and maintain our association over the decades and even over the centuries. Now this, we have reached this point of the mode of awakening the intuition. And although we are not at this time equipped with the complex symbols that Master DK was using with his group, there are other symbols we can think of. And in the, some of you will be interested at the conference, our 32nd conference coming up, where we would love to see you in person in Chandler, Arizona. Group that meets, the ceremonial workshop group, will continue its study of symbols, and since this is a second-rate conference, naturally some of the symbols will be those that tend to evoke the second ray with its resonance towards the love petals, the synthesis love petal, and also towards the Buddhic plane, and even the monadic plane, which has a very strong second ray generic quality to it. So if you can join us at the San Marcos Resort starting from the 24th of April, and we'll be celebrating the Waysak Festival there also, as we did last year. So it'd be lovely if you could join us. The pre-conference starts on the 24th, and we're going to have work done in esoteric astrology, of course, after the ceremonial workshop group, which really sustains subjectively the entire conference in a very interesting way. So if you want to join that, we'd be most happy for your participation. Tuya directs that, as you know. And then we have our Rays advancing seven ray seminar that we continue with, and also this year we're going to start the cycle again, so that some of the people who really want to learn more about the rays from the beginning can do so, and Eva Smith will be handling that, and meanwhile we'll some of us will continue on and look into the rays of the spiritual triad and the rays of the monad. It'll be an advanced study, but basically conditioning everything we do, and conditioning the soul ray, you know. So the spiritual triad must become a factor within our life. And as we know in the study of symbols, the Buddhic plane or the Buddhic vehicle is an aspect of the spiritual triad, even if it's not, in most of our cases, completely organized and coordinated. That tends to happen a bit after the third initiation, so we have much to look forward to in the intuitive life. So, I'd love to see you there, and then the main conference will begin one week later, I think on May 1st, I believe it is. Let me just take a look here. February, it's getting close. 24th, yeah, May 1st, okay. And then go to the 6th. So there's nothing like getting together in these times of crisis, these times of untruth, and trying to bring esoteric truth forward in a helpful way that will condition the approach of humanity to its problems. All right, this is about the mode of awakening the intuition. And there are many ways the intuition can be drawn into activity, the Tibetan tells us, and one of the most useful and potent is the study and interpretation of symbols. You know, the Mercury factor brings in interpretation. It's also a planet relating to the Buddhic plane and, you know, to the color yellow, which is associated in some ways with the Buddhic plane and with the fourth ray. You know, the fourth ray and second ray are two very intuitive rays. And in our studies, we have an overlying fourth ray. And the Tibetan says that in his work, the presence of the fourth ray mind is very important. So the second ray is there, fourth ray is there. And, you know, as we build the Antikarana by the method that he gave us, the appearance of the intuition emerges. As I say, we can't, you know, quite reach to the very top here because the permanent atoms of the spiritual triad, at least these two permanent atoms, are located on subplanes so high that even the master does not access the powers or cities that are connected with these subplanes. You know, so basically we go as high as all knowledge. That's a big subject, all knowledge on the atmic or spiritual plane, and idealism, a high type of idealism, which is not emotional idealism, on the third or fifth subplane of the intuitional plane, and true intuition is found on the fourth subplane. So we have a lot of work to do as we try to climb the subplanes. And, you know, when we come en rapport with people, let's just say love. Okay, let's see, where are we here? Okay, let's see where we are. I'm not sure what just happened. I think, okay. There it is. All right. So it jumps on me there. Let's just say this, that other factors that promote the intuition, and maybe you can think of this when we have our little chat after this, but love promotes light. That's what I wanted to say as I was suddenly changing places. Love promotes access to light. So if we really want to understand, which is a factor in intuition, the factor of loving and being unified with the object of understanding is very important. I suppose he says there are many ways to access the intuition, but he's giving us one particularly, which involves the study of symbols. And basically, you know, there is a kind of consciousness that looks at all of the environment and all of the people around from the point of view of spiritual reading, as it's called, by the great sage Patanjali, which even the Tibetan considers a great master. Maybe, who knows, maybe he was associated, but that was 10,000 years ago. the spiritual reading emerges, and maybe we can approach our environment, outer environment, and even inner presentations from that spiritual reading perspective, which is spiritual discernment, and is an aspect of the higher mental plane, the very first power or city that we encounter on the higher mental plane is called spiritual discernment. And I think many astrologers are dealing with that all the time. So here's the definition of symbols. It's a good one, so let's pay attention to this. Symbols are the outer invisible forms of the inner spiritual realities. The outer and visible forms of the inner spiritual realities. And as I say, there is a way to approach all life as if whatever you see through the senses, any of the senses, can lead to still more, to the presence or appreciation of still more subtle spiritual realities. You know, even a lamp, I'm looking at a lamp here, you know, what is that the symbol of? You know, great sources of interior light, such as, you know, the sun and other sources, the stars, you know, sources of light on the inner side, and sources of light within our energy system and so forth. Everything is connected. I'm looking around me here, you know, in this room surrounded by various Buddhas and other interesting artifacts, and all of them have a inner meaning. And when facility in discovering the reality behind any specific form has been gained, so it's an act of penetration, isn't it? You know, symbolization is an act of penetration. It's an act of penetration into the world of meaning. The world of meaning is the world of the soul, and the world of the intuition is even beyond that, but the soul has appropriated a certain amount of the intuition. So even if we have not completely developed the Antikarana, we can access intuition as it is presented by the soul to a degree. So when reality behind any specific form has been gained, that very fact will indicate the awakening of the intuition. So let's always look in a discerning manner for what is behind that which is presented. So let us always look for the cause or the archetype of what is presented to the senses. We'll start there with the senses in the outer world, and especially the sense of sight, which accounts for so very much of the data that we process. Now here he talks about first-ray people and second-ray people. They are, in a way, the great opposites, and they're the head of their distinctive ray lines. You know, the soft line rays, the 2, 4, 6, which DK says had a lot to do with consciousness and life, and interestingly, the 1, 3, 5, 7 line, which has more to do with the form. First ray people belong to what is called the destroyer ray. And the power of the first aspect, which is the power to bring to an end, you know, so we really have that kind of Pluto and Vulcan meaning, flows through them. The beginning and ending of cycles is under the first ray. They will have a tendency to destroy as they build through a wrong direction of energy, through overemphasis of energy in some particular direction. It's not commeasured with the state of form in which they are working, or through misuse of energy in work with themselves or others. Well, he's sounding a warning here on the first ray. And many first-ray people have the tendency to pride themselves on this and to hide behind the plea that being on the first ray, a destructive tendency is unavoidable, and he says such is not the case. As a matter of fact, he tells us at one point that the first ray is actually inherently less destructive than the than the sixth ray, which is oftentimes untempered and not wielded with so much intelligence as the first ray is. And, you know, Vulcan is an important sole planet on the first ray, and it's involved with building and not necessarily with destroying, though even in the building process, some destroying has to be done in the clearing. So he talks about the building aspect of the first ray, and he says that's more related to, let us say, the United Kingdom, you know, Britain, with its strong Taurian nature, and hence its rulership by Vulcan. So we have to think about the building aspect, and many first-rate people do are great builders in society, if it's not, you know, carried too far with this, what they call it, an edifice complex, always feeling like you have to have a building to commemorate something. All right, but now he talks about builders who are found more on the second ray. Builders such as second ray people always are. Okay, so those of you on the second ray, try to take in that little hint. Have to learn to destroy when prompted by group love and acting under the will or first ray aspect. And they may so act if their rays, other rays, indicate this, or if they're passing through a certain period where the first ray is prominent, or their sense of responsibility has to be awakened to use rays other than the ones they usually use. So in other words, it's possible for builders to learn to destroy and destroyers to learn to build. So, but always under group love, that's important. Destroyers have to learn to build, acting ever under the impulse of group love and utilizing the power of attachment in a detached manner. And we can certainly ponder on that. The power of attachment, as if we really care, you know, if we're a first-rate type, but in a way that is not adhering to the state of the form. We're looking for something greater than the form. We're looking for the idea behind the form. And, of course, that gets us into the apprehension of intuition. Both groups, builders and destroyers, must ever work from the standpoint of reality. Now, when we talk about reality, that is what the intuition reveals. The reality. The intuition does not lie. You know, in these days of so many lies, the intuition does not lie. It reveals things as they are and in an immediate sense. So, you know, we don't have to sort of reason our way into the intuition. Although sometimes after a series of steps taken in reasoning, the intuition will suddenly appear. But it can as suddenly appear to people who are not using the reasoning process to get there. So both groups must ever work from the standpoint of reality, and that's the purpose of intuition, to reveal it from the inner nucleus of truth, and must take their stand at the center. We'll just ponder on that for a moment, you know. Not extended into the personality, but at a point of tension in the center. And of course, in the center, finally, is pure being, what we really are. And of course, we easily forget that, being extended at so many points of tension all over the personality. So that basically DK is telling us that we're usually about 60% ineffective because our inability to work at a point of tension at the center. So obviously, you know, the Pratyahara aspect, the number 5 in the means of yoga, where you are withdrawing towards the center and establish yourself in the center, is very important in the visioning of reality. So if we speak the truth and use the energy of love, the heart and the head, and if we learn to take our eyes off the little self, and if we finally learn to meditate, you know, then the intuition will begin to appear. And we won't mistake it for psychism. I mean, there are higher psychics and so forth, but and we could say that intuition is a higher psychic power, but the normal imagistically laden psychism is not what we're talking about here, because people just get trapped in the images and they don't know how to get to the formless worlds behind the images. When you think about the cosmic etheric planes, we could say that they are formless forms. What we find here is formless forms. I mean, from the point of view of the kind of forms we find here in the lower 18 or 21 subplanes, the kinds of aggregations of energy, which we might call forms, are very different up here on the cosmic etheric levels. So we have to get used to these aggregations of energy, which are not so concrete. Really, you know, we're involved in the etherealization of our entire consciousness. That's what our training gives us. It doesn't mean we're ineffective in the world, but we're able to apprehend geometric connections and types of subtle energy, which are not the usual type of forms of the lower worlds. Well, this is going to be quite a section, you know. The study of symbols tends to bring this about. When carried out, note, with faithfulness and diligence, we can't just expect it overnight, and will produce three effects. So I'll just mention the effects, and then maybe that will be enough for right now. I try to have this section be, not much more than a half hour in length as we work. And eventually we will get through this entire book if we persist with faithfulness and diligence. And then maybe we will become observers of reality, you know, as it is said, and be able to penetrate behind and within all of the, DK calls it phantasmagoria, phantasmagoria. And let's just say the penetration behind and within the phantasmagoria, and he includes associated persons in this phantasmagoria. There's where I really need an abbreviation for that word. Okay. So it produces three effects. It trains in the power to penetrate behind the form and to arrive at the subjective reality. Well, you know, this is what we call spiritual discernment. It's probably our first real connection with that which lies behind the obvious, and it's on the third sub-level of the higher mental plane. What else? Let's see, what are we looking at here? Sometimes I have to remind myself what we're looking at. Come on now. Whoop. All right. Right. The study of symbols brings this about. Okay, it produces three effects. We penetrate. That's number one. It tends to bring about a close integration between soul, mind, and brain. So, because, you know, the soul, as I say, is equipped with a certain portion of intuition. Maybe not the whole impersonal, planetarily revealing intuition, but quite a bit that knows the divine plan. And when that is brought about, soul, mind, brain, alignment, the inflow of the intuition, and consequently the illumination of truth becomes more rapidly possible. So the intuition always brings in light. It also brings in understanding, and it brings in love, as we have been studying, and as we will see, he refers to that. Sometimes the astral body is included. I was doing a lot of work in A Treatise on White Magic, as I said, 27. I've got 27 programs now in A Treatise on White Magic, and Brett just has to catch up to me. He's not feeling too well, so let's send him some good vibes. And, you know, it's a wonderful book, and sometimes in the soul, mind, brain alignment, he also includes the astral body, and he calls it the floor of the triangle. The brain is physical, the etheric physical, mind is mental, but the astral body is often left out, and in the rules of magic, Sometimes the astral body is included and sometimes not. But the soul-mind-brain alignment is what we have to cultivate, and symbols will actually, you know, bring the soul into the brain. It's already there, really. Our solar angel of the presence, has penetrated into the brain already, and has certainly penetrated into the mind at individualization. But, you know, we have to become aware of this penetration, have to cultivate it, and not let the oftentimes out-of-alignment astral body deflect the final anchoring in the brain, and apparently symbols are helping with this anchoring. And then the third point here, this is interesting, I think. It will put a strain upon certain unawakened areas in the brain and arouse into activity the brain cells there found, and this is the first step in the experience of the aspirant. Well, we know that around the pineal gland there's a lot of unawakened cells, and we're told, even, you know, by the researchers who are not into occultism but are into heavy science, that we're just not using our brain capacity. So to awaken these dormant cells so that they can truly reflect the higher worlds, this study of symbols helps us with that. With the majority of true aspirants, and I remember he says, this is interesting, every true aspirant has taken the first initiation, he says. With the majority of true aspirants, the center between the eyebrows is awakened, and thus the pituitary gland, right? Whilst the center at the top of the head is vibrating very gently, but is not in full functioning activity. Now we need to get that rapport going between Vulcan and Venus. Vulcan and Venus, the rulers of those two centers. The higher center must be awakened more fully before aspirants can measure up to their full opportunity, and then connected with the ajna pineal. So the end of occultism is not just awakening the higher center. That is the mystical stage. It has to be brought down to the center between the eyebrows. And that will give us the power to direct these energies. So all of this is about, at first, putting the strain around the pineal area. Even Descartes in those old days knew that the pineal gland was the seat of the soul, you know, in the brain. So the pineal gland and the awakening of the etheric brain and the physical brain around the pineal gland, those particular cells have to become sensitive if the soul is to make its way through. So that is going to be, I think that's enough for right now. Let's say that this is the end. Whoop. Oh, goodness, goodness. What am I doing? Sometimes things just jump on me, you know? Okay, so this is the end of, what am I calling it? Academic reading portion. Yeah. Academic reading portion of, Dissipation of Glamour, number 65. And today is the 2nd of February, and on the 9th of February, we'll be continuing. So, let's see, the next thing will be the beginning of the academic reading portion of Dissipation of Glamour, number 66, and that will be on the 9th of February. Incidentally, you know, every 2 weeks, now so far, these are morning sessions in the science of triangles. Now, in the ASK program, Atuya presents the practical part of the triangles work, where we actually do the triangles meditation in all its simplicity and effectiveness. And what we're also throwing in here every other week is the science of triangles, and we're beginning with a study of about 100 pages within esoteric astrology, about the way that triangles apply to many, many different levels of humanity, the planet, the solar system, and the local cosmos. And then there are other areas and other triangles to be studied, but at least we're getting our start, and it will take a while. Now, for the moment, this is every other week, and, you know, Tuya and I are doing so many programs that I kind of hesitate to make it every week, except I realize that we're leaving out the people who are better functioning on the evening schedule. So we're going to think about that when it comes to, because we alternate glamour, of course, evening, morning, and maybe we'll see about the science of triangles. Meanwhile, some of you have been benefiting from the Souls of Nations, Soul of Nations meditations that we have every Saturday. Tuya leads that. And right now we're in a review of the various nations whose souls we have evoked. We have studied these nations, and about 10 at a time, we are re-evoking their soul, because let's face it, if the soul is not functioning as it should in a nation, we don't get the leaders we must have, and the you know, we can be led astray. So we have so much work to do there at the national level. It is political work in a way, but it has to be done. And then, of course, on Sunday, the attracting money for hierarchical purposes. So we have a comprehensive link which is good for all broadcasts. And in the Ask program, everything is a broadcast except for the two kinds of webinars, this webinar and the Science of Triangles webinar. All right, that takes us to the point where your thoughts, questions, et cetera, can be, enter into the picture. And I tell you what, I'm just going to try to make this a little bit smaller, because, you know, it might help us see more on the page at the same time. Okay, now where am I? Oh, I guess I'm somewhere here. Ah, yeah, here I am. Right, to that point. Okay, so I'll make this smaller. Maybe number 10, you know, and more will be able to be on the page simultaneously as we look at what might be of interest to you. So, are there any questions? Well, you know, we're going along studying this important method of healing the emotional body of the planet from all the miasmas which we have generated. Yes, under the influence of the Black Lodge in the early days, but we have kept the tradition going of lying and falsification and basically unreality, and that has to be removed from the astral plane. Okay, so any thoughts that you would like to bring forward, this would be the moment to do it. Just kind of watching for your hand if you have anything you want to say. So there's Olivia, and there you go, Olivia.
Well, I thought I would just mention what we have in the chat box just a little bit more. But this, the New York Times came out just you know, recently in the last 2 days with this article, their research on all these hundreds of millions of fake followers that are being created in these factories that come up with these fake accounts called bots. And so this is being used in social media like Facebook and Twitter to manipulate outcomes of events, to manipulate public opinion. And so it's important to us, I think, because it gives us an idea of what we're up against when we're focused on truth, when we're trying to shine the light on certain issues of progressive thinking or inclusive thinking. Mm. And we have so many deliberate attempts to just undermine these things and to manipulate so much. So it's interesting that Facebook has admitted to having 60 million automated accounts, and Twitter 48 million. It could be well more, but they tweet and retweet all these fake stories, fake ideas, and then public opinion seems to be going in one direction or another when really that may not be the case at all. And when people hear these ideas, you know, repeated again and again, it has an effect on them. So this is just another important thing to know that is going on in our world today, having a definite effect. And something that we who are working to dispel glamour, to dissipate glamour, can understand and also appreciate why our efforts are really important to do all we can. I mean, you know, we're not going to change everything, obviously, but to do all we can because we're up against really strong manipulative efforts.
Yeah, it's all part of the counterattack, you might say. You know, following World War II, the forces of obstruction were driven back. But as the Tibetan told us, and sort of quoting the Christ on this, he says, you may have cleaned your house, but you were inattentive, and now you've got a whole lot more devils in it than you had before. So that's what's happening at the moment on the threshold of this hierarchical conclave. So it is it's a big battle, and thank you for including notification of this. I have it. Well, we've sent it to everybody, and we can read about it and go to the the link that you have provided. Basically, it's all about truth, and truth is all about reality. And if we want to live unreality, we're being set up for that at the moment. And of course, it's the personality that is doing all this, and not the soul at all, because the soul is the agent of truth. And it's just rampant, and our inner work is extremely important in this regard. That's that has to do with something with our meditation today. So thank you for that, Olivia. And let's read about that. And, well, we know what's going on, don't we? We just don't know how huge it really is. And
right.
Action.
And right. And Brett, I sorry you're not feeling good, but I wonder, could you post, I sent you that link.
He's not here, Olivia. He's not.
Oh, Brett isn't there. Oh,
no,
okay.
No, no.
Well,
just
then.
Poor
Brett. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but he's doing work, you know, but he's just got to watch himself, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's an email link to the, or there was a web link to the whole story. But if you're interested in understanding more about this, just Google that topic, and I'm sure you'll find
okay.
more.
Well, actually, I included this link here, Olivia. It's right here.
Is the actual link there, Michael?
Yeah, the link is there, and it's also been sent to people. It's in the chat box.
Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing the information.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, thank you. Okay. Well, these are trying times, and it seems that what DK called the last-ditch fight of the forces of materialism is certainly beginning. It's on us, and we don't know how long it will carry on. We cannot necessarily assume that it will magically disappear in the year 2025, you know. So I think the whole remainder of the century in which the Pisces and sixth ray influence is fading out will present many challenges. But at least from the inner perspective at the Great Conclave, the plans, the concrete plans for the externalization will, in all probability, we are told, be prepared, be laid down. Yeah. So that is encouraging. Thank you. Okay. Now, other thoughts or statements that, okay, Vera, there you go. Okay, Vera, yep.
Yes, I'm responding to Olivia, and I think that what's happening also is externalization or being visibility, getting into visibility, all those underlying thinking and thought forms, which for majority of people were not so detectable. So I think especially in the United States, I come from Europe, now from New Zealand, that I think that a huge chunk of American society lives in the la-la land, and now it becomes really visible. So
It's a big
That's
thing.
my.
It's a big thing. And of course, what you're talking about is a plutonic factor, bringing into visibility the many concealed
Yeah.
manipulations. And this he promises before the reappearance of the Christ, that Pluto will be very active along with Vulcan. So these are first ray destructive tendencies, which at least from the medical social point of view, bring the diseases of society up into everyone's view. I'm sure many will be horrified when they see it all, but it's up and coming. I mean, I could go into what's going on in the United States right now, and the altering of documents, and the strictly selfish kinds of procedures. It is horrifying, but we have some power on the inner planes, and we have to
Yeah.
work as individuals and groups with the soul energy, basically the great emerging soul, let us say, of the United States, and really the destined soul ray of humanity, the second ray, will throw away these tendencies, will eject these tendencies. So we have to count on this power of substitution, I think. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Vera. Okay, other thoughts that you may want to offer before we have our meditation? Looking for your hands if you want to speak, or if any of the if BL or Joe want to speak. Right. Okay, I'm just scanning here to see whether you would like to offer a thought or a question as far as that goes. Well, we have abilities. We do have abilities, and we have to use them with confidence. We have what meditation has given us over many, many years. And, well, as Master Moria says, half the world thinks and the other half carries it out, carries out the thought. We want to be among those thinkers who, without coercing anybody's will, because that's not allowed. You cannot manipulate the will of another. It's just the White Lodge doesn't work that way. But you can present thoughts, images, consequences. You can evoke higher powers, all of which will affect public opinion. So a great drama is working out. Now, a war is being fought. It's so interesting. And at the moment, this war is occurring psychologically and on the plane of Kamamanus. It's and basically on the mental and emotional planes united, or on simply on the mental and emotional planes. So at least that is favorable. This war is inevitable, but to retain it on the psychological levels, this is the goal, so that it does not precipitate into what may well be a terribly destructive event, against which DK did warn early on in the game when he wrote the Introduction to the Problems of Humanity back in the 40s. So we have a big job, It's like keeping the finger in the dike, the old story of the little Dutch boy who prevented the great flood by putting his finger in the leak within the dike. In the Low Countries, we have that kind of responsibility to make sure that, as much as we can, that the terror does not overflow humanity on the physical plane and keep this a psychological conflict. It will be a conflict. There's no way around it. With the going out of the sixth ray and the coming in of the seventh ray, there is a cross current, and there's no way to avoid that, and we have to stand for the new values, as we all know, and do so in a powerful and esoteric manner, for which we have been at least partially trained. Okay, Stacy, there you
Michael.
go. Yeah, Stacy, is that okay? How can the fourth ray mental be useful here? Well, it's particularly connected with the Buddhic plane. It does, first of all, it gives a righteous balance between values. So that the good of the old and the anticipated good of the new are brought together, and we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Okay, so and then the attunement of the fourth ray with intuitive perception is extremely useful. And the fourth ray is the ray of analogy, and one of the ways of reaching the intuition is by the application of analogy and the law of correspondences. So in those ways, particularly the fourth ray mental is useful. It reaches from the low to the high. And by studying the low, it intuits the nature of the high. And it also harmonizes, as we greatly need, the conflicting forces. And he tells us that since the fourth ray is coming in very strongly in 2025, it even came in 1924, interestingly enough, in some measure, but 2025, that it's going to be a big help in bringing humanity through this crisis. So if you have a fourth ray mind or something on the fourth ray, it can be very useful in this time of crisis. He said, look, if you're not having a crisis, why aren't you having one? So fourth ray is the ray of crisis also, but the higher part of it is the harmonization and resolution of the crises. So that's a little response to that. And then Catherine, did you say symbolization is an act of penetration? Should be read symbolization. Okay, did I say some? That's why not? Okay, an act of penetration. And I don't even know where to look for it, but there it is. But it's kind of interesting, isn't it, the strange word, symbolization. It has to do with really summing things up in their totality and seeing the big picture. I know the word doesn't exist, but that's correct. Very good. Okay, thank you, Catherine. And Tuya, go ahead, please. And wait a second. Wait, okay, you are muted. You're self-muted, so you have to unmute yourself. Can you do that? You're self-muted, Tuya. There you go. Now you can. Yeah, now you can speak.
Yes, good morning to everybody. So I was just thinking two things in relationship to symbolism and to truth. That when we think about the evolution, we have always some kind of challenges. And now we have the challenge in our society, what Olivia was pointing out, this incredible possibility to manipulate via the internet and via the press. And there has been movements by some journalists which has been raising this issue, that how in the past it was the honor for journalists to bringing the truth, but now it has moved along the clamor of money, that how to manipulate the masses by putting these fake truths, and the majority is following them. And in a relationship to that, there's this one old saying that you can smell the truth. You can smell the lie and you can smell the truth. And that is one kind of practice for disciples and aspirants nowadays, that we should go beyond of what is said. We should go beyond what is written and trying to sense this, how whatever we are imposed to, how does it smell? Does it smell the truth or does it smell the lie? And that is developing our intuition, because behind that, whatever is the motive, that will stay. Even though there could be beautiful words, but if there is the motive to delude others from the truth, it will stay there.
Mm. And that's also been given, you know, if I may say to you, we have the phrase in English called the ring of truth. Like, ding, you know, I mean, it's a sounding quality to truth. You know, there's been a saying, well, there's a crack in the Liberty Bell here in the United States. It doesn't ring true. And when there's a crack in the truth, you don't get the, you know, the bell-like resonance. But sometimes you just know when something is spoken that it has the resonance of truth. It connects with the higher truth. So that's another way of using the senses to detect the truth.
Right. So this is so very important nowadays, and also what is at schools, the development at schools. We have a movement now in Finland that the teachers are trying to emphasize the religion is taken away. Earlier it was based upon a lot what is said in Bible, in the Bible. But because nowadays we are more and more materialized and materialistic, I mean, and in that sense we are not referring to the holy writings, but so it's like that the people, the children are just by their own. But that movement has been starting here in Finland to the teachers trying to emphasize that part, that how important it is to speak the truth, because everyone has been seeing this culture which has been rising, that somehow who can delude others the most and lie the most, that the others are not knowing, are like somebody who are looking up to. So the whole change in our concrete mind, it has been enormous during the past 50 years.
Okay, thank you.
So that was what I was just pointing out.
Thank you. Okay, before our meditation, is there anybody else that wishes to speak? I think I got Catherine here. And again, can you say more about the esoteric healing group being involved with the externalization? I think that's what you mean, right? Esoteric healing, EH, you know, it's the third group. And DK has really told us that with the incoming of the seventh ray, of course, we have to clear so much first. But with the incoming of the seventh ray, we're going to have the healthier bodies, sounder, magnetic conditions. And, you know, basically, the healing of the mechanism allows the penetration by the soul into the 18 lower subplanes, the three lower worlds, the worlds of the personality. That is externalization. In every human being, when there is integration and sanity and sanitized conditions and improved vibratory conditions and the release of what can you call it, just the dirt, you know, just the that which should be expelled via Pluto, you're going to have the presence of the soul. The presence of the soul in the lower 18 subplanes is about externalization. There's so many things that the healers can do, but the general thing is to make fit the personality vehicle so it can really present the soul radiatorily through its nature. And that's a generalization, but I think that that is generally correct. Okay. All right. Anything else? And maybe we'll get on with our meditation. All right. I think I've gotten everybody that has asked. Of course, you know, inquire the way, right? There are four things we have to do. Inquire the way is number one. And, we have to, as it say, obey the inner impulses of the soul, number two. Pay no attention to worldly wisdom, number three. And set an example, number four. This inquire the way means through self-reliance, we really have all the answers to the questions we ask within ourselves. Of course, a teacher can be useful here and there. But basically, as the Buddha said, rely upon yourself, because that, as the Tibetan said in White Magic, the self is God, and that self is omniscient, and the self knows. So we do use the services of teachers, but at the same time, the teacher can only take us so far, and our intuitive search has to be undertaken by every person himself. You're treading that path alone, and yet not alone. So the alone part is important, because then we build up our spiritual strength and our ability to stand and to help others by our own inner quest undertaken apparently alone as we inquire the way. All right. So we'll work on a different glamour today. And one that is very apt, given the tendency to fool, fake, delude, you know, as the article there that Livy gave and the tendencies the two of you discussed. Really, I mean, it's such a disrespect for what we essentially are. But then when the personality tries to have its own way to fulfill its own desires, everything else is sacrificed. And that's what we're seeing now. We see a situation in the United States where great institutions which have served over decades and even hundreds of years are being thrown aside simply to protect lies. It cannot be allowed. And let's form a part of public opinion, strengthening the good public opinion so it won't be allowed. I do really foresee, let's say, the soul of America throwing the rascals out. I see that happening. Every day I see that happening. And, of course, it has a worldwide implication because there are many dictatorial types who are taking their lead from the dictatorial tendencies emerging from one of the world's great democracies. We can't allow it. Okay. So let's all come together in silence. And in this silence lies much strength of the group. And in this silence, the soul energy slowly seeps into or percolates into the mind and the personality, as DK tells us in one of his injunctions, keep silence and the light will enter in. Now we're entering that world, world of the great illusion, as DK calls it. We need our protection, that shining cross of divinity, from the forehead to the chest, and then the two eyes, left eye, right eye. And there is a protective formula. So at home you can say this, as I say it with you. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. And the cross shines, radiates. And the individual and the group are more protected in this often hostile environment than otherwise they would be. Think of those words: as a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. Then we bring the three lights together, the light of vitality of matter and the light of the reasoning mind. We imagine that these are coming together, drawing up the vitality, the light of matter, onto the mental plane, and the light of reason is there, the rational mind and the vitality to support it in the outer worlds. And so the two are one. And having united them with the imagination, our reasoning mind and our vital energy, we think about the soul, contacting the soul, often visualized as a center, or having a center above the head. And we try to recognize the existence of soul energy, soul light, recognizing soul light. It is a great reality on the inner planes, and it can demonstrate and will demonstrate through the outer planes. So we bring it down. We imagine we bring down the soul light, bring it onto the lower mental plane and fuse it with the other two lights. And all of this under our control on the normal mental plane. And this is the beginning of the generation of our searchlight and our weapon against glamour. And as the triple light is noticed and strengthened, we say the following: the light is one, and in that light shall we see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day. Now we will use the formula as we visualize the great searchlight being turned on and directed towards the astral plane, where those energy configurations which must be dissipated are presently found. So let's turn on that light. And the beam is effective in detecting the glamours and in dissipating and vitiating, weakening, even destroying these configurations of energy force, which we call glamour. the formula while visualizing. Radiance and power are we. Radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning, and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus, with the light we work and turn the darkness into day. Now, DK's description of the astral plane is not the beautiful place that some imagine, but filled with fogs and miasmas and elusive, deluding forms. At least those conditions do exist there. Taking advantage of humanity, because humanity cannot detect these energy factors. Now we're going to strengthen our beam with the spiritual will deriving from the monad, the atmic plane, the jewel in the lotus, the various petals of the egoic lotus, head center, and so forth. That's the pattern of descent, the base of the spine. And we look at the beam and we are generating, and we imaginatively see it as strengthened by the will. With power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. So this beam is intelligent, it's sensitive, and it is strong and effective. In esoterically ridding the astral plane of these things, which these states which delude so many people. And now we're going to deal with the glamour of falsification or lying, fakery. And we'll use these words of power, but first, let's look out there and speak to ourselves, imagine ourselves, all the damage done by falsification. Think of this. And we can see how much waste of energy and will and the power of the energy system occurs because we are misled. Or we mislead ourselves, speaking false things to ourselves. We must clear away this influence of the father of lies as it is spoken. The truth may hurt, as they say, but the truth will also set us free. And so we use the words of power, pronouncing this together, visualizing as we go, seeing the light penetrate into the glamour and producing its weakening and its dissipation. The power of our united light prevents the glamour of the appearance of the glamour of falsification or lying. The power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of falsification. The power of our united light negates the quality of the glamour of falsification from affecting humanity. The power of our united light destroys the life or vitality behind this glamour of falsification. And certainly if we learn to think truly and see things as they are, unbiased by the desire body, then we will speak as well truly. And the miasmas will be cleared away. So let's use these words of power and we'll do that for 5 minutes of silence and with intensity of purpose. And we'll see the work of destruction and dissipation proceeding. 5 minutes. And so we attempt to destroy all clouds that veil the Sun of Truth. Master Moria has a very direct way of saying this. Lie, 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 perish. And notice the repetition three times. That's a magical formula. To be effective, three times repeat. Lie, 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 perish. So that the Sun of Truth may shine, and truth reveal the real, and the real reveal the way. Otherwise, one is trapped in the illusions one has generated and cannot tread the path. If humanity is to be the world disciple, the value of truth must emerge. We do see some in the political arena who actually do speak the truth and do it in a way that is assimilable, tolerable, recognizable, and others who just make it up as they go along to protect their tiny personality. Lie, 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 perish. We now together withdraw our beam imaginatively back onto the mental plane. And we shut down the triple light. And knowing that we have done some good, we sound the Om, seeking that the Sun of Truth, S-U-N, will have its effect in the 18 lower subplanes and the three worlds of usual illusion. The Om three times. So let's work with this glamour and project the clarifying results into this very distorted field, which is getting worse apparently, but we can work for the appearance of the Sun of Truth. Thank you for your participation. Remember, tomorrow we have the, in the morning schedule, the Soul of Nations meditation. We'll be re-evoking the soul of countries we have worked before, and then we'll go on to other countries. And also in this particular program, when there are emergencies, we deal with them esoterically through meditation as well. And I'm not sure, you know, how Brett is doing, but he'll get this up on Makara as soon as may be possible. And please tell your friends that they can, if they missed out on the meditation, they can participate by going to the site on Makara. And it's not that it has to be timed, you know, they can do it at any point. So let's keep working together. Thank you for your work and your presence. And Olivia Tui and I wish you well and come back. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.